prophecy is not so much as, you know, just foretelling, but forthtelling. It's taking the truths of God in light of present circumstances or future circumstances, not limited, because it's God. And it's being able to hear that and then pass that on, that truth on to God's people. It is God's truth that ends up building up and blessing up.
You know, procrastination is the thief of time, but more so in the Christian life, it is a thief that robs us of the opportunities to be used by God in wonderful ways, opportunities to use our spiritual gifts. And today on Seeds of Commitment, Lance Cook will remind us why it's important to be using our spiritual gifts that God has given to us. As we continue our studies dealing with spiritual gifts, today we'll be learning about the gift of prophecy as well as speaking in tongues, and how to use these gifts in a proper fashion, as we'll see in 1 Corinthians 14. And now with today's broadcast of Seeds of Commitment, here's Lance.
But Paul, of course, started out introducing the gifts of the Spirit in chapter 12. In chapter 14 now, Paul is going to refer back to three of those gifts that he has previously spoken of and bring some more detailed order. And those, of course, are the gifts of prophecy, tongues, and the interpretations of tongues. And he now begins to discuss the function in more detail of these gifts in the public assembly. So as we knew going through this book and learned going through this book, the church in Corinth had abused the gifts. There was a lack of understanding. One of the biggest problems in the church, as you go through the book, you can see it seems to be that of, as far as spiritual gifts, it would be relating to the gift of tongues. So he begins in chapter 14 by saying, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you might prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So Paul, of course, coming out of chapter 13, that great chapter on love, begins chapter 14 by saying, pursue love. A body that pursues love will be a balanced body. Pursuing love, that will always bring balance to a body. Remember that. And then desiring spiritual gifts, that will always bring motion to a body. What it means to desire gifts, it means to desire what God has already offered to you. As we went through our study in spiritual gifts, we noted that this particular word gift is the word charisma. It is derived from the word charis, the word grace, which of course is unmerited favor of God, as all of God's gifts cannot be earned or purchased or these type of things. But it is in that same category. It is just a bestowment of God. You don't deserve it, but you are saved and he extends it to you. These endorsements and empowerments of God himself upon his body. Gifts are miraculous qualifications. They are capacities for service. But of course, the problem with the church in Corinth was the misuse of these spiritual gifts. And that, of course, brought disorder to the church. And so we talked in chapter 12 about there needing to be further taught. There was, you know, the idea of him saying, I don't want you to be ignorant. So it could have been that in the five-year growth spurt of this church, they had grown distant from, you know, developing these gifts and teaching in regards to these gifts. And so there was disorder that was brought along and surfaced within that. But the gift of tongues, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, all these signs will follow those who believe. in my name, they're going to cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues. I imagine the disciples, when they heard that, kind of scratched their head and went, okay, what are we talking about here? This has got to be fascinating. I'm sure they conversed amongst themselves. Later on, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus, of course, would, right before his ascension, tell his disciples, listen, do not depart from Jerusalem, but go there and wait for the promise of the Father. And then he began to explain what that was, that you are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 8 of chapter 1 of Acts, he would say, you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And again, for you that might be new to Bible study around here, the office of the Holy Spirit is an intriguing study indeed. But in John chapter 14, we know that Jesus said, well, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to leave my Spirit, the Paracletos, and he is going to be in you, and he will be with you, and he also will be in you. And that Greek word for in is the word para, the Greek word for with you is para, excuse me. That he will be with you and convicting you and these type of things. And then once a person believes the truth and receives Jesus as their Savior, they're born again, then there is the indwelling of the Spirit. That is the Greek preposition en. That means to indwell. Now, that person becomes a candidate for the other role or the other office of the Holy Spirit, and that is to empower them. And that is what Jesus was talking about in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when he says, you will receive the Spirit when he comes upon you, the Greek preposition epi. And the idea is that of dunamis, the empowering to be those witnesses, to be a representative of Jesus Christ. And that is the realm in which the gifts operate as well. The gifts are not, empowered by the individual. They are not of human resource. They are empowered by God himself through his Holy Spirit, through that office of the Holy Spirit empowering, or the epi. So the first time that, we see this is in Acts chapter 2. They heard that, they went to Jerusalem, and they waited upon the Father, just like Jesus had asked them to. And as they were there, they were gathered, 120 there in that upper room, in one accord, one mind there. And as they were praying, it says that the promise was fulfilled. The Spirit came. The Spirit came upon them. And the house was filled with a rushing, or sound of a rushing mighty wind, which symbolized the Spirit. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire that set each upon each one of them. They began to speak in the glossalia, the different dialects. And they were not speaking in their own native dialect, but in a foreign dialect through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And so that was the first time that we see that recorded, that gift in operation recorded there in Scripture. People from different countries were there for the celebration of the Feast of Pentecost. And they heard these Galileans, speaking, and they marveled. And they said, aren't these guys all just Galileans? How is it that, we hear them in our own different languages? The second time that we see the gift of tongues in operation was following Peter's message to Cornelius and his household in Acts chapter 10. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. The Jews that were there with Peter, they were astonished, because as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And so Peter was just in his house. He was explaining the gospel, and somewhere through that particular time period of him just opening up his heart, they believed, they received, they were saved. And the Holy Spirit was poured upon them. They were now qualified to receive that epi. And man, they began to speak with tongues and magnify God. And then the third time, Paul was ministering to about 12 new disciples in Ephesus there in Acts chapter 19. And when Paul had laid hands on them, it says, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and then they prophesied. Now, these are the references to the operation of speaking in tongues in the New Testament. Now we have some great description and definition as to the proper use in order to bring the much needed order in the area of spiritual gifts. Paul says it's time to talk about this. So Paul would say, for he who speaks in a tongue, verse 2, does not speak to men, but to God. This is important to understand. They are speaking to God, not to man. It is to be addressed to God. It is given for the purpose of speaking to God. Now again, whenever I speak to God, I call that, you call that what? Prayer. That's why many Christian circles that embrace the gifts of the Spirit, they call the gift of speaking in tongues a prayer language. It is to be used in a personal form of worship and praise to God. Now, some assemblies, some Christian groups, some churches, of course, welcome the practice of speaking in tongues to take place in their public form at any time. But again, this is, in verse 2, supposed to be a word to the Lord. And the question would come up, how do you keep that from becoming a word to man in that setting? Well, it could be in my heart to the Lord. And I'm going to stand up or sit up or whatever it is, and I'm going to, you know, exercise this gift. And you know, that's my intention. But I think for any of you that come from those backgrounds, churches that allow that particular gift to operate in a public form such as this, more times than not, it's kind of gets all people looking at men. And more times than not, the interpretation of that particular tongue is directed towards man. And I think that's really where the struggle is here. And that's what Paul begins to deal with. I don't think it's a sin for someone to, you know, in a worship setting or whatnot, to you know, use that gift in a public setting. Paul's going to break that down. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. But I do want to drive this point home. I don't believe it's a sin. I don't think it's completely erroneous. I think that, you know, it's possible. I think that what Paul is getting at here is, well, where did you guys go with that? What did it lead to when you had that ability and opportunity within the church? And as we go through the chapter, we're going to see that more times than not, it would seem that it brought disorder. So remember, this gift is to give praise and adoration to the Father, not a message to a congregation. And again, the struggle is in keeping focus on God. For those that have the gift of speaking in tongues, when they pray, they will oftentimes come to an end in their natural tongue, their English language, if they speak English. That, of course, can be limited somewhat in your prayer time. So God has given that gift to some so that they can pass their particular limitations. It is a gift where God assists me and He helps me with expressing that praise and that worship to Him. The Spirit inspires and partners with me. I am no longer restricted and I can continue on with His assistance. But again, it's with His assistance. In Acts chapter 2, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. In Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession with our groanings, which cannot be uttered. So if we take the first point here that Paul is trying to make, he basically is saying, desire these spiritual gifts. That's a good thing. And if you're maybe fearful or intimidated, you've got to get past that. We talked about that in our study through 1 Corinthians 12. Get past that to the point where you would have desire. And many times we have to ask the Lord, Lord, rekindle my desire to be in Your Word. Rekindle my desire to pray. Lord, rekindle my desire for spiritual gifts. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be intimidated by them. But if you begin to desire those gifts, you are opening your heart to the one that imparts those gifts. And so you don't need someone to kind of say, if you're one of those people that say, man, that would be really cool to speak in tongues, or I heard someone speak in tongues, so I want to speak in tongues. And sometimes, you know, there are those people that Christians that are out there that can say, well, this is how you do it, and they're going to help you. You know, say, you know, la, 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 fast 20 times, or whatever it might be. And they're out there. And you know, if you come from one of those, you know, areas, don't take this personal. I just think that this particular point challenges that. I believe that it is the Holy Spirit. No one needs to quiver your chin for you. No one needs to tell you what to say. I believe you're desiring and the one that imparts come together. And guess what? If it's for you, embrace it. And man, may it be between you and the Lord, and use it for all that it is. But Paul even says, tongues is not only just to bless the Lord, but also for ourselves. It blesses us. I benefit. No one even understands maybe what I say as I pray. You know, Paul says here, but I'm speaking these mysteries. God understands. And that can bless me too, just to know that I'm praising Him beyond my own limitation with His assistance. And so that could build up your faith. As in verse 3, he says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. So in contrast, to that of tongues, which exhorts the Lord and blesses Him and whatnot, prophecy, on the other hand, benefits others. It benefits and builds up the church. In verse 4, he hits on that. Prophecy is not so much as, you know, just foretelling, but forthtelling. It's taking the truths of God in light of present circumstances or future circumstances, not limited, because it's God. And it's being able to hear that and then pass that on, that truth on to God's people. It is God's truth that ends up building up and blessing up. So he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies, verse 5, is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. Now, Paul's personal experience of tongues, you know, led him to wish that all had this beautiful gift. So it must have been an incredible gift in Paul's own life. He wished we all had the assistance in our devotional life, in our prayer life. It would benefit us all personally. And he knew that, and he wanted us to hear that. Yet his greater wish was that we would be able to prophesy. Not that he loved or valued prophecy over tongues, but he saw that it was more useful as it ministered to the whole body. Tongues, as he says here in verse 5, does not profit the body unless there is an interpretation. This does not mean that prophecy and interpretation of tongues is the same. They are not. Again, tongues is addressed to God. There in Acts chapter 2, again, those from the different countries said, you know, we hear them speaking the wonderful works of God. Peter and his friends there in Cornelius' house were amazed because, again, the Holy Spirit come and they heard them speak and magnify God. Paul's going to say later in verse 16 that it is the giving of thanks to God. It is aimed toward God, not man. But interpretation of tongues brings an understanding of the praise aimed to God, to the people. And they get blessed as they hear the content of that praise. I've shared with you in the past of afterglow services that I've been in, and even afterglow services that we've experienced from time to time in our own church, where the gifts are in operation. And I'm not saying that they're limited to those particular forums, but we do have those forums where we say, let's wait on the Lord. And, you know, we usually open these up. They call them believers meetings in some places. They are, I think, best supported by and attended by those that are more mature in the body, that understand or at that point where they want to learn or exercise those gifts. But it's a beautiful forum when you come together in a worship setting or in a prayer setting where you say, let's wait on the Lord. Let's see who has these gifts. And I've had times where some of my friends, as I've shared, have the gift of speaking in tongues. And they'll give a message in a foreign dialect other than their own, which might be English. And then there's a beautiful interpretation that is just expressing the praise and the adoration of God that was expressed through that language. I've been in some pastors' conferences where others have, you know, been from other countries and heard that tongue, went, man, that guy that interpreted speaks my language. And kind of connected all of that, you know. And you sit back and go, wow, this is really amazing, you know, how God does this. But this is what Paul is saying. He's showing you the difference between the interpretation of tongues and prophecy. If you are in one of those settings where someone gives an interpretation of a tongue and it is aimed at the church, you know, and maybe trying to get people to get it together, whatever, you know, the person is either off base or maybe it's a separate prophecy and they don't even know. Verse 6, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophecy, or by teaching? To have a pastor get up behind a pulpit and just begin to speak in tongues might raise a lot of like, wow, that's amazing. But it's really not going to benefit the body at all. But to have the gifts, Paul says, revelation, knowledge, prophecy, teaching, all of those gifts operating, the entire body is going to be built up. The entire body is going to be further equipped. Even things without life, he gives us an example, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it all be known what is piped or what is played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for battle? As we were worshiping right now, and especially on those last two songs, I was back there and went, man, I love this worship in this house tonight. I always love it. But I mean, it was meaningful. It was heartfelt. And I'm sure you would, you know, concur. But, you know, what happens? We come into a room like this and Mead will get up here with, you know, Jeff and Ron, different guys, and they'll all stand in front of us, and then they begin to play. They begin to hit familiar notes. We are moved with each distinctive sound, and we begin to sing. Now, if I led the closing song tonight, you would not be moved to sing. You would be moved to leave. The sound that I would make would be a meaningless nuisance to your spirit. It would be a senseless noise that would bring confusion to the rest of the worship team and the body itself. The trumpet here, or the bugle in the Bible, when Paul would use this illustration, it would bring to mind the proper use of that particular instrument in their day and in their time. But they were used in many different settings for many different reasons. Different sounds would be to use to draw an assembly, or to wake people up, or to let them know there's a fire, or it's time for battle or charge. If an unskilled person took on that job, let me tell you what, it would be total chaos in the community. An unskilled performance would only send everyone heading off into different directions. Unless there is a distinction in the sounds, there's going to be confusion. The sound does not produce the proper effect. So that's what Paul is saying. So likewise, you, in verse 9, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Paul says, all languages, they are significant, and speaking in tongues is one of those significant languages as well. So the problem Paul is focusing on here is not with the language, but the ignorance of the hearer. And then he goes on to explain, therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Now, being ignorant to a foreign language can be very frustrating. It is kind of funny how you get to an area, and my language is really bad. I try and say hello and have casual greetings with the Spanish ministry. But when I sit down in a setting there in, South America, and I'm listening to some of their pastors teach, I must admit, it gets long. I get frustrated. Man, I wish I knew what that person was saying. Afterwards, I get up and I'm trying to have dialogue with these young pastors that are all excited and they want to talk, and they're talking to me, and I'm like looking at them and I don't understand what they're talking about. And I begin to talk back to them and they're shaking their heads at me, but you know they don't understand what you're talking about. So it is with tongues.
Well, today Lance Cook has been offering us rich nuggets and insights on how we go about using these spiritual gifts that are described here in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, and using them in a way that benefits the body of Christ, as we've been learning on today's broadcast of Seeds of Commitment. Now, if you'd like to receive this study either for yourself or maybe to pass on to someone, please make sure you specify tape number 4602-35. Again, that tape number is 4602-35. And for credit card orders, simply call us at 714-441-2845. We accept Visa, MasterCard, and Discover Card. And again, simply call us at 714-441-2845. If you're sending us a check, please make it payable to Seeds of Commitment and write to us at 1370 South Euclid Street, La Habra, California, 90631. We'd love getting your feedback as well, letting us know how Seeds of Commitment has been a source of encouragement and help in your walk with Christ. Again, write to us at 1370 South Euclid Street, La Habra, California, 9-0631. And to know more about our ministries and activities, simply go to our website at www.seedsofcommitment.org. There you can know more about the radio ministry of Seeds of Commitment. Again, log on to www.seedsofcommitment.org. And then make it a point to join with Lance Cook for more rich commentary in our studies in 1 Corinthians. Until then, may God bless you as you stay committed to the Word of God.